And good morning to everyone. Our first case this morning is Trans-Canada Keystone Pipeline LP versus Rech, and it has been consolidated with Trans-Canada Keystone Pipeline LP versus Schultz Brothers Farms and Trans-Canada Keystone Pipeline LP versus All Press Brothers LLC. With that, Mr. Jorda, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Brian Jorda on behalf of the three appellants in the consolidated appeals who appear before you here based on a lower court decision in the respective county courts where the county court judge there found that the landowners were entitled to fees and expenses to be reimbursed to them due to a condemnation action taken by TransCanada. TransCanada then appealed the county court awards. It went up to the respective district courts. The district court then reversed, finding that there was no written fee agreement and that the landowners' affidavits themselves, their specific individual affidavits, weren't specific as to sums paid or sums owed. That decision has then been appealed before you here. All of this is taking place under Nebraska Revised Statute 76-726, which allows the county court, in its opinion, to provide reimbursement for fees and costs actually incurred pursuant to a condemnation that's either abandoned or won by the condemnee. In this case, it's undisputed TransCanada abandoned. The sufficiency of the proof is that there was an agreement between the landowner and council. There is no contrary or controverted evidence that there was not an agreement between landowners and council. This is not a case where TransCanada was a party to the agreement between landowners and council. So what you have here is landowners and council are in lockstep, in perfect agreement as to what the obligations were, what the relationship was, and the duties that had to be carried out. The evidence at trial was not the lawyer's evidence, it was the landowner's evidence in front of the county court. And the landowners chose to produce affidavits by whom? The parties to their agreement. That would be Mr. Domina, myself, and then each respective landowner. Those are the only parties to the agreement, and they're all in agreement as to the rights, responsibilities of the parties. There's no contrary evidence in this record. And from that evidence, the court can adduce and did adduce that there was an agreement as to the relationship of the parties. There were services rendered. Those services were actually incurred. The landowners are obligated and indebted. And a listing of the services provided, a description, the sums charged for those services, and the sums sought. The landowners specifically in their affidavits, Exhibit 6 in each case, state that they are indebted and obligated to pay the sums requested in their motion for fees, which was $8,844.21, of which $104.21 were for expenses incurred by the lawyers on behalf of their clients, which are not in dispute here. This is a dispute over fees.
How is this appeal different than the one that was for us in Nicholas family?
Well, there's evidentiary differences, Your Honor. For instance, in Exhibit 6 of paragraph 5, there's a complete and definitive statement to one of Justice Stacy's questions in the prior appeals where she inquired, what was the deal? Is there any evidence of what the deal was? And what we have here, reading from paragraph 5 of Exhibit 6, which again, for simplicity purposes, is the appellant's affidavits in each of the three appeals, it specifically states, we entered into written engagement agreement with Domina Law, requiring us to pay for all legal services and to reimburse Domina Law for expenses they expended on our behalf. And then in the totality of the evidence, we go through the fees and the expenses expended. They, in their affidavit, say, that's correct. We are responsible and obligated for those sums requested. There's no contrary evidence as to anything about the contract. TransCanada presents to you only this. Well, do we really know? Maybe there was something else. I don't know. Maybe we should see the fee agreement. I'm not sure. They don't come with evidence saying there was no deal. The landowner never agreed. The landowner wasn't certain. The landowner never was on board with
this. Whose burden was it?
Well,
to show that expenses were incurred here
Well, it was a landowner's burden, and we showed that in 11 different references across the three affidavits that were received in the trial court.
So we should be reading 76, 726-1, actually incurred, obligated is a synonym for actually incurred. Is that how we should read the statute?
Well, I think you should read the statute consistent with your prior rulings, which specifically states and defines 76, 726, actually incurred as, quote, requiring only that landowners be indebted to council for services rendered. And there's a lot of evidence, there's hundreds of pages of evidence that in fact was the case. The county court was the trial court for the condemnation proceedings, had a front row seat to what was going on there, and there's no contrary evidence to suggest otherwise.
And the affidavits were no doubt meant to meet the so-called shortcomings in Nicholas.
Well, I believe the sentence that I just read to you out of paragraph 5 certainly does, and then I believe the totality of the evidence taken together certainly does in this record, in these three records, I should say. So.
But all those affidavits were produced before Nicholas, right?
They were produced before, but they are different. But that's absolutely correct. They certainly were. They were produced in 2016 at the times when these cases were ongoing. So in any event, there's simply no contrary evidence. This is not a dispute over what a contract was. The parties to the contract are in agreement.
We have to disavow Nichols if we side with you in this case?
I don't think you have to. I mean, I think you should, with all due respect. I think the decision was in error. Given the mountain of evidence before you and the extremely low bar that landowners have in this case, only having to show that they are indebted. A single affidavit saying landowner was indebted to council for services rendered, period, would have been sufficient. We had mountains of evidence beyond that. But again, I think you, if you wanted to parse it out, you could say, well, the evidentiary records here are slightly different. And you can go with that. But yes, with all due respect, I think you got Nichols wrong. If there aren't any other questions, I would reserve the rest of my time for a rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Pepper, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chief Justice. Patrick Pepper and Jim Powers on behalf of TransCanada Keystone Pipeline. We respectfully request that you affirm Judge Kosicek in both Boyd and Kapahaw County. Judge Kosicek waited on these appeals for the result of the Nicholas family cases, which were 40 cases that arose out of the same filings that these three cases arose out of. When all of these eminent domain petitions were dismissed, the landowners filed motions for fees and costs. They were supported by affidavits that all followed form. We submit to you that the evidence in these three cases is no different than the 40 prior cases this court decided in 2018. The law in this case is derived from Nebraska Revised Statute 76726, and the issue in this case, as it was in Nicholas family, was both the reasonableness and the actually incurred. What Judge Kosicek found, consistent with this court's opinion in Nicholas, is that the actually incurred evidence was not supported. This evidence, like the evidence in the 40 Nicholas family case, lacked evidence of a fee agreement, evidence of any invoice, any specific averment by any landowner of any amount to be paid, and the same form affidavits from counsel of record.
Do you think the language in the exhibit 6, the paragraph 5, that differs from the Nicholas language a little bit, makes a difference?
I do not, Your Honor. We believe there is no legal or factual justification to deviate from these 40 cases, and we submit to you that Judge Kosicek had no other option after reading the Nicholas family opinion. In fact, before it was decided in Boyd County, the parties agreed that these records were in fact so similar that counsel for landowners stated that this would be another docket entry, another set of briefs, and ultimately a Me Too opinion. We believe that is what's appropriate here. And if there are no further questions, that's our argument. Thank you.
Thank you very much. How much time do we have?
3 minutes and 14 seconds, Mr. Jordan.
Yes, yes, thank you. Two items that Mr. Pepper just referenced. The district court judge in these matters on appeal specifically found in his order that there was no record of a fee agreement, where you have specifically held in the entire history of this court that a written fee agreement is not necessary to be part of the record. Neither is an invoice.
Have we ever held that when there was, in fact, a written plea agreement?
Well, in Black v. Brooks, which is a statutory case decided in, a statutory attorney's fees case decided in 2013, you awarded fees when there wasn't even an agreement. It was a pro bono basis in that case.
Isn't this statute different, though, where we have a statute that requires that the fees be actually incurred rather than just reasonable fees?
Well, but you don't, reasonable fees is step two of actually incurred, because you can't get to a reasonable fee unless it was first actually incurred. So the fact that that language is in there, in my opinion, does not modify it. You still
have... Doesn't that suggest there's a heightened requirement in this case? You have to show both actually incurred and reasonable, and that might be a reason why the fee agreement would be required?
No, a fee agreement would be one way to get there, but again, the rules of professional conduct don't even require fee agreements in hourly billing cases, so there wouldn't even have to be a fee agreement. Imagine if the landowner...
But you have admitted there is a written fee agreement in this case.
There absolutely is, and every one of them signed.
It was never shown to the court.
That's right, and it's not necessary to be shown.
What about a billing invoice?
No, and you've never held a billing invoice as necessary either.
Had we ever considered actually incurred before?
I don't know that. I'm not sure about that. If you have in another context, again, the actually incurred bar is very low. Requires only that landowners be indebted to council. So now you might say, well, what are the myriad of ways you can go about that? And I would concede a fee agreement could be one way, a billing invoice could be one way, a sworn statement under oath or testimony stating landowners are indebted to council for services rendered could also be a piece of evidence to be considered, and that's what we had. We don't have to then further prove, well, now let's tear this fee agreement apart, let's really look into it. If it was the landowner versus the lawyers saying, whoa, I didn't agree to that, then we better have a fee agreement. But if it is simply having to prove to this court, well, having to prove to the county court in its opinion that landowners are indebted, we've done that by having testimony that specifically states landowners are indebted, going through everything that was done, going through the fees, going through the cost, having them saying the sums we're requesting and our individual landowner motions for fees and costs are the sums I'm obligated to and that were necessarily and reasonably incurred, we've covered all the bases.
Without unnecessarily going into the attorney-client relationship, if you weren't successful, the landowners will pay you.
They've already paid us. They've already paid us. Yeah, they've already paid us. This isn't about me. This is about them. They've already paid this pursuant to our written fee agreement that we signed years ago. And now we're just trying to get them reimbursed.
And that's shown in the record.
The statement in, you can go to Exhibit 6, again, which is the landowner affidavit. It's shown in the record many places, but let me just quickly get to paragraph 9. We want TransCanada to be ordered to pay the sums requested along with expenses incurred on our behalf because this includes the money we have paid for legal services and expenses and our debts incurred. I don't know how much more clear we can get. If I were to put the fee agreements in evidence, TransCanada, frankly, would have seen our strategy throughout this whole case that is still ongoing, our conflicts with them, and there's no way we would have ever put that in evidence. You've never required it had to be in evidence. There's no contrary evidence to our proof, which I believe
is
sufficient.
So is your representation all the sums that are due have been paid?
That is absolutely correct.
Have they been paid before the hearing?
Absolutely. There's nothing further. I respectfully request this be reversed and remanded with directions to reinstitute the county court award and then further direction to have the county court enter final judgment on that award. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The next case of the day is In Re Estate of Barger.